on KGYM. Coming up, we'll talk about Matt Campbell's new contract. Does this mean he stays in Iowa State for the duration of the contract? We will discuss. We'll get your thoughts about that as well at 319-366-1600. Tiger says this one is different. How different is it? Did Tennessee find their man? And Iowa takes part in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. All that coming up on the Gym Class on KGYM. Taking you through the 3 o'clock hour, it is a Gym Class. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you here on KGYM, 1600 AM, the main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Welcome in Iowa City and Coralville. And good show, great show coming up for you today as Matt Campbell, shortly after we signed off the air, off on the air yesterday, signed a brand new contract. Jamie Pollard, as expected, coming through with a big raise for not only for Matt Campbell, but also for his staff, and we will get your reactions to that coming up. Also on the program, we'll talk about Iowa and Virginia Tech coming up tonight in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Big Ten's done well in the last few years, but not a great start last night as the Big Ten went 0-2, ACC jumping to that 2-0 lead over the Big Ten conferences. That will be an 8 o'clock start tonight in Blacksburg against Buzz Williams and the Hokies of Virginia Tech. And last time Iowa was down there, things didn't go real well for the Hawkeyes as they got boat raced down there the last time they were in Blacksburg. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and yeah, it will be a challenge tonight against Virginia Tech, and we have talked about Nick Bear apparently going to return to the lineup. We'll see if we see him at the point guard position in relief of Bohannon, but this is still a young Iowa team that showed a bit of growth in the Cayman Islands, but also showed a lot of warts, so it's still November. This is a good opponent for Iowa, good measuring stick. See how it pans out tonight.
Yeah, and I think Nicholas Bear back will certainly help this basketball team. Even some talk that he might bring the ball up a little bit. Now, I don't know about that. I think that might be a little bit far-fetched, but we will see how it all plays out coming up tonight, and that will be down in Blacksburg. As we mentioned, things didn't go well for the Big Ten last night. Got off to a slow start as far as the shootout or whatever you want to call it is concerned. And probably the ACC was favored in one of those games. Probably the other one was kind of a toss-up, but still wasn't the greatest start in the history as Syracuse came from behind to beat Maryland 72-70 to remain unbeaten on the year. Maryland falls to 6-2 on the season, and then the other game was if you like defense, that was your cup of tea last night between Virginia and Wisconsin. Badgers are 3-4. Now, they've played a tough schedule, but Wisconsin is 3-4 right now.
Well, you hit it right on the head. It's a tough schedule, and this is not a Final Four Wisconsin team, I don't think.
No.
By any stretch, so kind of a growing season for Wisconsin. It's still going to be a good basketball team. A great one? Probably not.
Is it going to be a team that you're going to want to face coming up in the latter part of the month of February? That remains to be seen. The schedule for tonight, the game's beginning at 6 o'clock. It'll be 5-0 Florida State at 6-0 your Rutgers, University of New Jersey Scarlet Knights. We'll see if the Scarlet Knights can remain unbeaten. They've played some patty cakes to get to 6-0. Northwestern, they need a win. They go down to Atlanta to take on Georgia Tech tonight, and the Cats are 4-2, including a blowout loss in there. And then at 7 o'clock, it'll be probably the marquee game of the night. That will be Louisville at Purdue. Purdue coming off a 1-2 trip to the Bahamas as they were down at the Battle for Atlantis. I think that's Bahamas, isn't it? Is that Bahamas? I think it's Bahamas. Louisville at 4-0 right now. Purdue at 5-2. Then at 8 o'clock, besides the Iowa Va Tech game, it'll be Illinois at Wake Forest, and Wake Forest has been very, very mediocre at 2-4 coming out of the chute so far.
I think one of the more curious developments in college basketball is the sudden resignation of Tim Floyd at Texas El Paso, the former Iowa State and Chicago Bulls coach. He just abruptly said, "I'm done," after a home loss to Lamar. I mean, six games into the season, and he now decides that he's done.
Must not have been having any fun. Well, I mean, losing's not fun.
UTEP was 1-5.
Right.
And that's not Tim Floyd's cup of tea, really.
No.
But I thought it was curious timing, to say the least.
Yeah, right at the start of a season. And, of course, they will look to their staff to take over for Tim Floyd. And been a very, very good coach as far as college basketball is concerned. The big story, though, it came out last night, what, just ahead of 6 o'clock or so, when Matt Campbell, it was announced, got his contract extension. Jamie Pollard played this very cool and very close to the vest, and very Jamie Pollard-like. Jamie, tell you what, if you're an Iowa State fan or not, you got to admit that Jamie Pollard is one of the best ADs, I think, out there. First of all, I didn't think he'd be here at Iowa State for very long, and I think he shows great character, and I think he shows great leadership and a great example of what he wants his coaches to do, and that is to put down roots and aims.
Yeah, he's bought into Iowa State. Whether he's had opportunities to go elsewhere, I'm unsure about that. But Sunday, Pollard and his wife invited Campbell and his wife to Pollard's residence to sit down and talk about this and hammer it out. And after a while, it got done. Very lucrative contract. It also protects Campbell's assistants in terms of their pay. I think that's very important these days in head coaches negotiating contracts, because they couldn't do it without the assistants.
No.
And I think that's a good recognition on Jamie Pollard's part as well. 319-366-1600 is our phone line and our Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We already got a couple comments about this contract renewal. David and Hudson: "All I ever hear from Iowa State fans is about how much Iowa pays Kirk. I don't hear the outcry after Campbell's pay raise after winning 7 games once."
That's because you never hear anything about Kirk's salary when Iowa wins. First thing I asked you, I texted you last night. I was at Kennedy for the game, and I said, "Hey, what is Kirk's per year deal?" Yeah. Still higher than $3.5 million. So Kirk is still the number one paid guy in Iowa.
Ryan from Walford is a Hawkeye fan. "I'm happy to see Iowa State trying to lock him in long term. I hope he stays and keeps them competitive. I'd still be shocked if he's in Ames by the 2020 season. We all know those contracts do not mean squat when it comes to taking a more prestigious job."
2023 is what this will go through now. And my question to the Cyclone Nation out there today, and love to hear from you, Iowa State fans, 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line or the phone line: is Matt Campbell the coach beyond 2020 going through, provided Iowa State keeps competitive and keeps winning? Now, Iowa State doesn't have, or maybe expectations do change. I mean, Iowa State, what would you say? And this has been always a sticking point for Iowa fans. Is this a 7-8-9-win program? Of course, Colin Cowherd set it at, what, 7.5-8 for Iowa for wins. What would be the Iowa State program expectations year after year? You would think it'd probably be 6.5-7-ish? Or maybe can that go up under Matt Campbell? I think it can go up under Matt Campbell.
I think the more he wins, the more the expectations rise. And I think that's true in any program, not just Iowa State. It's happened at Iowa. Kirk Ferentz won 10 or more games, 3 straight seasons, and all of a sudden everybody expected that each and every year. And what are the expectations for Iowa State next year? Should it regress?
Supposed to be better. Should be better.
Should be better. But what if the Cyclones regress and only win 4 or 5 games? Now, I've always been the belief, I think the state of college football in this state is better when both Iowa and Iowa State are relevant.
Amazing. No one is talking about the fact that Iowa shouldn't play Iowa State anymore, all of a sudden, as far as football is concerned. Isn't that interesting to you at this point? 319-366-1600.
Daryl and Marion on the text line, that increase in pay only put more money in Iowa State's account when an SEC school calls him and his staff. 1706, they don't mean squat until the payout comes around. That's a big hurdle when leaving. So it does mean something.
Yeah. No, I would agree right there. I hope he stays around, but you know what? 7 wins this year. If it keeps on escalating, 8, 9 wins, the big boys are going to come calling. I mean, that's just, and it's not, it's a compliment to Iowa State. It's a compliment to Matt Campbell. The more and more you win, and I hate to say, like at a place like Iowa State or even at Iowa, when Kirk Ferentz was the hot rumor around there, he was winning in Iowa City. His name was up for NFL jobs, as a few college jobs, but it's a compliment out there. It means you're doing the right thing. It means you're getting things done the right way.
Yeah, and Campbell's only in his late 30s, and how his career will progress and how his feelings will or will not change remains to be seen. Perhaps he's a Gary Patterson type of guy. Patterson settling in at TCU and trying to develop a program that will win Big 12 championships there, which they have, and they've been very competitive. And you could do worse than Ames, Iowa, and at $3.5 million dollars a year, cost of living in Ames is pretty good.
Not too bad. Not too bad. And no, and like I said, great job by Jamie Pollard to get together with Matt Campbell and his wife, Jamie and his wife, and that's the way he does it. Said during the, didn't say publicly, but confided with Matt Campbell, hey, we'll get this taken care of after the regular season. Don't worry about it. You're going to get what's coming to you after having a great season like they did, beating Oklahoma and beating TCU. And Jamie Pollard's pretty much a man of his word. And I know Todd touched upon it yesterday, and I think it was in the 6 o'clock hour of their show. And that is, you got to face the facts right now. Iowa State, and I agree with them 100%. You see so many more Iowa State shirts, so much more Iowa State products, so much more Iowa State paraphernalia than you did 10, 15 years ago. Did basketball have a good part of that? Absolutely. Absolutely. But now football is coming into play. Iowa State's had Big 12 cross-country championships. Yeah, I know it's cross-country, but it's still something to hang your hat on out there. Volleyball has been very, very good. Basketball has been terrific. Looks like wrestling's on its way up. Iowa State's going well. Iowa State's going very well right now.
Well, football is the king, you know. It brings in the money. It's on the national landscape more than most other sports. And when Iowa State does things like it did this year and beating Oklahoma and beating TCU and getting in the national conversation, that speaks volumes about your program. And then, you know, to finish 7-4, damn near 7-5. Damn near 9-3, really, or even better. Great season, and we'll see if this can continue.
We're going to talk to KJ Pilcher of the Gazette coming up here. We're going to preview the high school wrestling season, and we will do that coming up in just a little bit. Your comments are welcome, and Wally wants to talk about the Cyclones with a comment today. Hi, Wally.
Hi, guys. The guy that came on after me, nice, you know, I wish him and all the other Cyclone fans the best of luck in their bowl game. This is the classiest coach that Iowa State has had since I've been following Iowa and Iowa State football. I have my own poll question. What do you think, instead of having Nebraska and Iowa as the last game of the season, instead have it Iowa State as the last game of the season? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Wally. Well, that was What was that? That was Jim Kreiner's. That was his crusade, wasn't it?
I don't like it. I think it's just fine in weeks two or three. I don't like it as the opener either, really.
No.
I just think after grueling Big Ten and Big 12 seasons, and then to have your team, you know, expect your team to get up for an in-state rival at the end of the year, yeah, I don't like it.
I'm not a big fan of the Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia Tech play those games at the end of the year. And to me, they're a little anticlimactic. I like where it is, that second game of the year, because you always have your marquee matchups that first weekend. You always have your sectional matchups, the big top teners, neutral site games, and then you usually have a bunch of duds in that second week. And that's why Iowa State, Iowa, is usually on pretty good national stage on that second week. So I like it right there. That'd be my answer to it anyway. Let's go to Chris from Marion, who wants to talk about the Cyclones. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Yeah, first of all, I guess props to a great year. I guess my concern as an Iowa fan is, do you think the longer Matt Campbell is at Iowa State, the balance of power starts to shift from Iowa? And, I know Kirk Ferentz is had pretty good success against the Cyclones, but do you see the balance of power shifting?
Well, we talked about that a little bit earlier on. Just talking with the folks that in the know, and that would be the coaches around that I know, high school coaches. Dan McCarney did a very good job of recruiting the state of Iowa. And they say Matt Campbell has taken that and even stepped it up a little bit more. He is trying to keep the kids within the borders. He's taking a page out of what what Hayden Fry and what Kirk Ferentz have done, and that is try to seal up the borders and then go get some more folks out there that can help you out from, the New Jerseys, whatever the case may be. Matt Campbell, it's a lot of Ohioans and Pennsylvanians. Coming in. Iowa State also does very well. They've done Florida. They've gotten guys from Texas because of their association with the Big 12. Will the balance of power change? I guess that remains to be seen. But I know that Matt Campbell's making a lot of inroads in the high schools, especially around Eastern Iowa, that Cyclone fans, Cyclone football coaches have not made in a long, long time, and getting some of the recruits out there.
I think in Kirk Ferentz's coaching career, he's about 500 against Iowa State. One over, perhaps.
With the win this year?
10-9. And a lot of those losses were early in Kirk's career. I'm not sure what Chris really was pinpointing balance of power. Is it just in this particular game, the Cy-Hawk series? Or is it in, national acclaim? In terms of getting in the polls, winning conference titles, contending for championships, I think there's a chance of that. And if you're an Iowa fan, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, 319-366-1600. We're going to get the KJ Pilcher coming up here in just a couple minutes. Mike Gundy, talking with Tennessee. As somebody put on Twitter, this would be the greatest save since Mariano Rivera came in a few times during playoff games for the New York Yankees. Apparently not real happy with some things over in Stillwater right now. And can you see the mullet moving to the Southeast Conference? Trading one shade of orange for another shade of orange? That would be an interesting move, wouldn't it?
Well, it's hot right now, isn't it?
Well, it'd be the second Oklahoma State coach to bail in the last 12 months, too.
Which is curious. You have terrific financial backing there.
With T-Boone.
T-Boone Pickens. And Gundy's been there, 11 or 12 years? And perhaps he's seeking another change. I don't know. I don't know how they feel about mullets in Tennessee. Maybe they invented mullets in Tennessee.
Oh, you really want to go there? Todd, there's the poll question. How do you feel about mullets in Tennessee?
22-35, I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, we stoked Iowa and Iowa State up a little bit here. Maybe. Maybe out there.
Is he a good fit? Yeah, not bad.
It's not a bad fit. It is not a bad fit. I think for the Tennessee Volunteers, if they can pull that out, they're talking north of $8 million a year. You think Matt Campbell did well yesterday? What about Mike Gundy getting $8+ million a year to coach the Tennessee Volunteers at this point? Oy.
Priceless if he wins 10 or 11, right?
Darn right. Tried to beat Florida once. That's the first thing. Coming up next, it's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They will have tickets and your chance to win before they go on sale to see the iconic rock band Foreigner along with the Dave Eggers Orchestra. And tickets will go on sale this Friday, December the 1st, 10 o'clock at the U.S. Cellular Center box office or at Ticketmaster.com online, or you can get those free tickets throughout the week. And they will have those coming up for you on the show from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. High school basketball, girls action coming your way tonight. Myself, Steve Dozer, will be at Jefferson just up the road. Jayhawks and Iowa City West. Jeff Moss and Eric Peterson will have the call tonight. Solon Spartans taking on South Tama. Both those getting underway at 7:30. How about Derek Diggins last night? 41 points. Second most in Kennedy basketball history. And they've had some good ones. At yep. Kennedy.
Todd Miller holds the record, and Mark Enright back in the day had a couple 42-point games, but 41's a lot in a high school basketball game.
Yeah, it is. 41 is a bunch, and he got that last night. Was two off that record for Kennedy High School. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and when we do, we will preview the high school wrestling season and talk a little bit about college wrestling as well. KJ Pilcher, one of our correspondents, along with Wyatt Schultz. KJ is going to join us. The wrestling season getting underway tonight, and we will talk about it when we come back. It's brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue Northwest. In Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. More after this.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's the Ford year-end sales event.
I can't wait for you to meet my parents.
Yeah, can't wait. Oh, here's a spot.
Can you fit?
Just watch.
I am, and so is my family. Why are you taking your hands off the wheel?
And park.
The Ford Edge, with available enhanced active park assist, makes parallel parking very impressive. They're gonna love you. That's Ford, America's best-selling brand. Now with exclusive holiday offers. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus 1,000 Ford credit cash on select Fusion, Focus, Escape, Edge, and Explorer models. Hurry, offer expires November 30th, 2017. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Driver assist features are supplemental and do not replace driver's attention, judgment, and need to control the vehicle. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by November 30th, 2017. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
You guys want to do it?
Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Do 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. The high school wrestling season getting underway tonight, as a matter of fact, with some action going on in the area. We'll talk about that, preview the season, talk a little bit of college wrestling as well. KJ Pilcher joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and his appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance, and Kurt's office located on Johnson Avenue Northwest, which is just across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-V. And great to have you back. That means wrestling's back upon us, man.
Yeah, right? It doesn't feel like wrestling weather right now, but I'll take it.
No, it's non-wrestling weather out there.
Yeah. I don't even know how those warm states feel like when wrestling season starts up.
I got to think that they didn't even need to crank up the heat in the wrestling rooms over the past couple weeks.
Actually, I saw, I know it's college wrestling, not high school wrestling, but Luther had an impromptu outdoor football game to warm up for their wrestling practice yesterday. And Dave Mitchell, he didn't jam his hand playing basketball, but
that's homage to Kyle,
our producer. But so get out and get some outdoor runs and not have to be bundled up in mittens and hats and everything else.
Yeah, well, high schoolers get started tonight with wrestling and a few meets around the area anyway. But before we talk about that, let's take a look at what we can expect coming up this year. And I guess let's start with the Metro and Cedar Rapids Prairie. I don't think it matters what year it is. The Hawks, I think, what, five straight MVC Super Meets?
Five straight MVC Super Meet tournament.
Can they make it
titles?
Six?
They can. I'm not, I think I in our preview in the day's paper, I said, until somebody knocks them off, whether it's in the Metro or in the Valley, they're the team to beat right now. You know, you've got a couple state medalists that they have coming back in Trenton Wintermark and Conrad Braswell, really to kind of anchor the team. But it sounds like Kane Thompson has some young kids that they expect a lot of. I know Mike Jassa is a kid that's in the rankings as well for Prairie. This might be a team that is a lot better come January and February than you might see right out of the gates against some tough competition. But right now, like you said, you know, they just seem to reload, you know, and they have guys, you've seen it, that have waited in the wings behind, you know, a quality wrestler that graduates and then they step up and they really don't lose any ground in that starting lineup. So they're going to be pretty good. I think Cedar Rapids Kennedy has the makings of a really good team as well in the Metro. You know, you have Ben Sarazen and Cam Shaver back. You know, those are two quality kids. Dylan Ironside's in the lineup. Cade Parker, that a lot of people really saw breakthrough, you know, playing football. You know, one of the top linebackers in the area. You know, he was somebody that kind of showed some promise, but I think was behind like Garrett Kubovec, you know, a multi-time state medalist. You know, he's somebody that I think they expect big things out of stepping into the lineup. So, you know, you've got two teams right there that I think will kind of lead the way. And it'll be interesting. There's some new coaches in the area, especially at Jefferson with Ryan Phillips. So it'll be, you know, he's got a lot of energy. I think he's really excited for what they have there and to get a chance to, you know, to take on the Jayhawk tradition.
Yeah, and it's interesting because with Jefferson and Linmar, had some losses there, but they always have solid teams.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't know, I'm kind of interested to what they're going to bring to the table this year.
Yeah, you know, you got you know, Doug Stryker out there. I know they have a couple of really good freshmen coming back. Isaiah Garman was somebody that was an upper weight that kind of led them last year a little bit. You know, I think he's in that 220 range, possibly heavyweight, depending on how he comes in and out of football. Jacob Wimpen, everybody remembers the Wimpen name out there as well. You know, they're going to be, you know, two of the leaders for Linmar. And like I said, I think they have some young kids that they're going to step into the lineup as well. So we might see that be a team that progresses as the season goes along. And, you know, Jefferson, it's just going to be interesting to see, you know, they've had some guys graduate the last few years. It'll be, you know, they've had good sophomore JV teams. It'll be interesting to see how things go for them. And they start out with Kennedy Thursday. That's where I'll be Thursday for that duel. Kennedy at Jefferson. So that'll be a good test right out of the gate.
Yeah, Will. And then you got three teams that are on the rise. Marion really took a step last year. And then you got Xavier starting to put things together. And Coach Hatcher, Washington's starting to get some inroads done. And they're filling the lineup, which is the first thing. And they're filling it with good guys.
I'm really interested to see what Marion and Washington will have tonight. The first duel always kind of kicks off the Metro. Marion, Washington, and I believe Mount Vernon rounds out that field. It used to be Maquoketa, but you know, it'll be three really interesting duels because I think you hit it right on the head. You really saw what Coach Haig was able to do last year. Now, you lost the Conway Twins, which is a huge loss, but you just get the feeling that there's a confidence and you have guys buying in more to what Jason Haig is doing out there. And it's taken a few years to get to this point. Conway's were good building blocks. You know, that family's been a big part of the Marion wrestling program for quite a few years. But, you know, they had some good lightweights. It'll be really fun to see. And, you know, you mentioned Washington. You know, Ty Johnson was somebody that had a great football season this year. He was somebody that showed promise and was kind of part of those guys that came to support Will Foreman and Chris Karametros, who are two ranked kids now. Foreman, a two-time state medalist for Wash. Really, really dominant and was somebody that kind of had, I don't want to say disappointing losses, but a couple matches that he probably could have won at state. That he just came out on the short end of and could have placed a lot higher than sixth last year. So he's somebody that, you know, certainly is a guy that could be a Saturday night wrestler down in Des Moines, you know, depending on how things shake out. So, you know, first thing when you're kind of rebuilding a program, you need to have all the weights filled, you know, and that's something that's going to be a plus. And you've kind of seen this cycle, and Hatcher can do this. You know, there's a year where they had Alex Graft and Taylor Drawn, you know, and a couple others that they went down to state and had four wrestlers and four medalists.
Yep.
So he knows what he's doing when he gets kids to buy in, and it seems like he's starting to get groups that are buying in now.
Yeah. Preview in high school wrestling here. KJ Pilcher joining us from the Gazette. And if you didn't catch the preview today, go ahead and catch it at thegazette.com. Iowa City, City High starting to put things together down there. And then I know West got the big guy from Pennsylvania that came in. So
Francis Duggan.
They're going to have some good things. And then you got Liberty starting up.
Yeah, you know, in Liberty, it's going to be interesting to see what Joe Williams and I think Tom Hawk, the other co-coach down there. I hope I have his name right, but it'll be interesting to see how they really kind of put the foundation, because you know this is different than, you know, rebuilding a program. This is something new, you know. But they certainly have kind of a tough field around them, as you said. You know, Corey Connell got to City High, and the program was really struggling. It's hard to get kids out, hard to get quality kids out. And, you know, it's probably coming around a little bit faster than I think most people thought of. You know, I think they returned 10 starters from last year's district meet. I want to say six or seven had at least 24 wins last year. You know, that's quite a bit. Three or four guys with state experience. Jacob Dykes is a big leader for them. He was somebody that was certainly a top three or four kid that placed last year. You know, I think he went into the state tournament undefeated. You have Lance Borman and the Harney kid, also a real good trio of leaders that could score points for him. But you're kind of seeing that energy that they expected Corey to bring is starting to pay off. And you see this enthusiasm around the program that was really needed, and kind of a breath of fresh air a little bit. And, you know, you've seen that. And they've got a lot of experience back. You know, they were second to Prairie at the MVC meet. They returned a couple finalists. I think those three that we named were all in the finals, and Dykes was a conference champ. So they certainly have the makings of a good season. And you mentioned Iowa City West. You know, to their standards, they've kind of had a few down years. Now, a lot of programs would have been glad to trade places with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got Nelson Brands, who I can't really remember a more dominant performance by somebody. I've seen a lot of pinners, but somebody to go out and just beat down kids and make huge jumps from freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior year. Nelson has been phenomenal and has been one of the most impressive guys to kind of watch. Certainly, you know, he's favored to get back on top of the podium down Des Moines, and certainly a great person to have, whether it's getting 6 points in a duel or whether it's getting first place in a tournament with bonus points. He's certainly one to kind of lead the way. And then, as you mentioned, Francis Duggan, three-time Pennsylvania medalist. His brother Patrick, I believe, transferred from Lock Haven to the University of Iowa, so he came along. He's going to go to Iowa State, according to Mark Ryland. But he fits in. I think he's ranked fourth at heavyweight by Intermat nationally, but is actually going to wrestle 220 at Iowa City West. So, you know, you automatically get another title contender right there. And then they have a few guys coming back, like Guy Snow and Ashton Stumpf. Hans von Robineau, I think, is back as well with state experience. So you're starting to see more of a balanced West team than you've had here in the last couple of years. And now you've had these two pillars to kind of build around, which that battle for the Golden Asics, whatever it is for wrestling between City High and West, not the boot, but
it's a shoe.
It's a shoe of some kind, golden headgear, whatever. It's going to be fun. I think it kind of picked up last year a little bit more, and now you're going to see that intensity ratcheted up a little bit more this year, too.
Yeah, before we leave 3A, and what's it look like statewide? Central Iowa was pretty good last year, and I imagine it'll be good that way again.
Well, again, I think you can look right to Reynolds and see what they're doing out there. Jason Christensen is phenomenal in what he's been able to do. You know, I think track wrestling did something here recently on their program and what they've done. You know, they have 8 ranked kids, but they have like 90 to 100 wrestlers out.
Yeah,
which is phenomenal. And now they have they've really supported the program and they have the facilities for it. But, you know, there's just a culture there where everybody from number 100 to, you know, the top guy in the starting lineup feels that they're world beaters, and they work and they're treated and they have the mindset that they're the number one guy in the country, in the world. And, you know, they train like it. They go out there and they perform like it. And, you know, that's why they've had the success. And, I mean, Jason Christensen is probably one of the best overall people, if you've ever talked to him. And when you have that kind of person leading the way, it's easy to see why kids really follow and latch onto what he says and will run through a wall for him. I think that's one of the things they've gotten, as well as talent that's come in there as well. You know, you got Fort Dodge as well, that has a pretty strong lineup again, and it'll be a force to reckon with. But you know, Waukee has gotten better over the years, but I just think it starts and stops with Southeast Polk.
Yeah, and 2A last year was a dogfight, came down to a half a point between Solon and New Hampton.
Yep.
Assumption wasn't too far behind anyway, and I was good to see Blake Williams get a get a championship last year for Solon, and what's 2A look like this year?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention that because it just gives me goosebumps because I was back there when they clinched it and when they started celebrating, and it was one of the more one of the more genuine just displays of joy, you know, that that they had there in the back of the Wells Fargo Arena, and boy, there's a lot of work put in. You know, they had I can't remember the wrestler's name off the top of my head. I think he had broken his leg before the state tournament and got them points. And when you hear the cliche, every point counts, that was the proof in the pudding, as they say, every point counts. And that kid gutting it out, getting them some points, you know, was huge. Made the difference. Now, they don't have the West Twins this year. They lost some to graduation. Tyler Linderbaum, you know, and a few others are there to pick up. They're in such a tough conference with the WAMAC. You know, you look at teams like South Tema that are going to be right up there. Williamsburg has a balanced team. You know, Gage Hazen-Faber, you know, a running back, is a wrestler for them as well. But they have a returning state champion in Grayson Kesterson, who's going to be part of a really tough, lightweight. Just the WAMAC is stacked in the lower weights this year when you've got people like Kesterson, Carter Weeks from Vinton Shelsburg, Caleb Fessley from Center Point Urbana, and then all the other powers will have guys as well. But South Tema has some point scorers. I think they'll be a really good tournament team. You know, you've got Isaac Judge, who's a state champ coming back. Colton Vest and Brady Fritz, both two-time state medalists. Tanner Probosco, who's a state medalist as well. Five overall wrestlers with state experience. They're going to be a force to reckon with. West Delaware, I think, is going to be interesting. They've had a few down years, but they've got a cycle of freshmen coming through that kind of rival the seniors from a few years ago that won a state title and battled Assumption all those years. You know, Jake Voss, Dean Brokehammer, those guys. They might be a year away, but you know, they're certainly going to add to the mix. You got Western Dubuque, who is always balanced in the WAMAC. That's a 3A team, but you look at Mount Vernon. It'll be interesting to see tonight, but they'll be solid as well. They lost quite a few seniors from a year ago, including Tristan Werfs, South Tema, and then you looked at West Liberty and what they're able to do. Last year, they had three wrestlers down at the state meet, and they finished fifth. They went 1-3-3, and one of those third-place finishers was a state finalist the year before. So that's a team that they may not show it in duels. They may not show it in regular tournaments, but when you get to the state tournament, they can get a few more guys to kind of add some support to Bryce Esmoyle, who's going to go to the University of Northern Iowa. He was a 195-pound state champ last year. Joel Kelly is going to go to the University of Iowa, who is a three-time medalist, I believe, and was a state runner-up the year before in 2016. And then Will Esmoyle, who's really grown from a 106-pounder to, I think he's at 132 or 138 now. So, you know, those are three quality kids that may not make a huge impact on the landscape early, but when you get the bigger the meet, kind of like South Tema, the bigger their impact is going to be, and they're going to be right up there.
And then 1A, you had a great article today on Brad Smith and the Lisbon Lions, and Lisbon just ran away from the field last year, and I don't see them backing down any this year.
No.
Maybe better.
they returned 95.5 points out of 97.5 that they had at the state tournament. And I think looking at some of the online conversations by the Lisbon faithful, you know, that I've seen on social media. You know, this is a team that has more kids ranked in the top three, dates all the way back to like the early 80s. You know, and
when their dads were wrestling.
When their dads were wrestling. And that's funny. It's, you know, you see a lot of the familiar names that were a part of Brad Smith's first stint. Now, it's not the first one. You know, Carter Happel and Nick Williams, who were state champs previously for Brad Smith. Their dads and their uncles, you know, wrestled for Brad. But now you have another Happel. You know, you have a freshman named Cole Clark, who is Jeff Clark's son. I believe Jeff Clark won a state title for Lisbon as well. Caden Kilberg, who's a returning state medalist. His dad wrestled for Smith. They have another freshman, Brant Baltus, and I think he has a younger brother, Brock, who they expect to come up as well. You know, their dad, I believe, is Tony Baltus, who wrestled for Brad back in the day. So, you know, this is a group, you know, they've had these outstanding individuals that have got them in title contention. Now you're seeing that talent spread through the lineup to where they're really balanced from top to bottom, which ironically we were talking about this. They've had trouble filling upper weights in the past. Now they've got every weight filled except for 106.
Yeah.
And Brad's like, I just can't find anybody. But, you know, he's really gotten the program back. You know, I think Sam Paxton had a great headline that said, "Restore the Roar." And you saw that last year. You should have seen the way everybody appreciated that duels title last year and then capped it off with the state tournament sweep. It's taken a few years, but this is what Brad Smith had planned when he came back to Lisbon. And it's worked out. And the thing is, they've got eighth graders, they've got seventh graders that are getting ready to file in, and they're not going away.
No.
Now, Don Bosco is going to be their normal power. You know, they're going to be right up there as well. Denver is dropping from 2A to 1A, which I'm sure top-ranked New Hampton is happy to see.
Right, their neighbors.
Yep, you know, so New Hampton is certainly the favorite in 2A, and now that Denver's down in 1A, they're going to be right there with Lisbon. I think Wyatt actually had Denver ranked ahead of Lisbon, you know, so it's not going to be easy, and Brad Smith acknowledged that, but they bring back so much firepower, and they're filling it in with freshmen that are going to be able to contribute right away, that, you know, they're going to be a lot better. And I know a lot of them say, hey, you know, we've made jumps and we're picking up right where we left off last year, which is going to be tough for opponents. And it's kind of funny, I mentioned something to Smitty about you know, coaching the second generation guys. I go, does it make you feel old? He goes, feel old? He goes, I am old. Even though we're pondering, I think he's only in his early 60s, but he's like, I am old. But, you know, it's great to see these guys coming through. And he goes, not just that, but there are more people involved in the program. The gym's full. It meets again.
Yeah.
You just see this enthusiasm. And it all is connected by, you know, you've got these wrestling families and a great leader in Brad Smith kind of fit in at a perfect spot for him.
That is KJ Pilcher from a little bit earlier on today, and our wrestling preview and our wrestling talk on Tuesdays and with Mark Ironside on Wednesdays is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up after this.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Ryan Fall here from Billion Hyundai of Iowa City. You'll be a big fan of this month's new long-term low APR financing offer on the best Sonata ever, the all-new redesigned 2018 Hyundai Sonata. It's loaded with the latest technology and backed by America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, plus Hyundai Assurance. See dealer for limited warranty details. Plus, be a fan of our awesome low APR financing offer on the all-new 2018 Sonata at Billion Hyundai, your hidden gem, on Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City or BillionAuto.com.
Whew, sorry I'm late. Ready to tee off?
Dude, you're glowing gold.
Yeah, stopped by Shell on the way to the course and got rewarded with instant gold status.
Cool. Does it do anything?
Yeah, it saves me 5 cents per gallon on every fill every day.
Whoa.
And it crushes the long ball. Watch this. Nope, it just saves at Shell.
Get rewarded at Shell when you join the Fuel Rewards program now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons per transaction at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
The Gym Class in the Gym. KGYM. Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
All right, thanks to KJ Pilcher for stopping by, previewing high school wrestling. Coming up tomorrow, Mark Ironside will join us and Chris Liss of RotoWire.com. I know our playoffs are starting this week, so not here in the building, but the other league I am in. Everybody makes it. There's a little bit of, it's a grudge match. Pete and I.
That'd be nice because I've lost a lot of heartbreakers in the KGYM league.
I'm completely out of that one. In case you missed it nationally, during this hour, Eli Manning is going to be benched by the New York Giants in favor of Geno Smith. First time he has not started, I believe. Now, I read one place since 2006, the other one I read since 2004. That's a long time, and I will say the same thing about the Kansas City Chiefs and Alex Smith. Eli Manning is not the problem with the New York Giants.
McAdoo is the problem. What a boneheaded decision. Eli's the least of the Giants' issues.
Geno Smith. Great college quarterback. Not so much in the NFL. Speaking of college football.
Yes.
That is the subject of our Emil's Hideaway poll question, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast.
It is indeed. KGYMradio.com is where to access it. It is, will Kirk Ferentz, whose contract expires in 2026, and Matt Campbell, who's 2023, still be at their schools by the end of their current deals? You have four choices. Ferentz, yes. Campbell, no. Campbell, yes. Ferentz, no. Both will still be there, or both will be gone before then. Go ahead and vote. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast. Next Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Right now it's 50-50 early votes. Both will be gone then, and that's split with Ferentz, yes, Campbell, no.
I don't think either one will be there.
Go ahead and vote.
I usually leave it to the listeners.
Okay.
I don't want to get in there and shove it one way or the other. So go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com. Are you having Tiger Fever yet, Mark?
I'm ready.
48 hours away from the greatest comeback in the history of all comebacks, part four.
I'm ready to see what the young man can do. 41 is young to me, you know.
Oh, it's young to me, too. they're not fearing Tiger anymore. We shall see. It's an 18-man field, everybody.
Yes, it is.
Relax. All right. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming up next, we'll talk to you tonight over at Jefferson.
It's time for some straight talk. The big wireless companies charge a boatload for their superior network coverage. But guess what? Straight Talk uses the same...